limit, so as best as you can. I know it's going to be hard, and everybody understands that. Maybe try to wipe your shoes just a little bit. Don't minimize the problem and go into the thing. Rabbi Ram.
I was not able to check out all the details personally with the people involved. I'm going to tell you a story as I heard it. It's one of the most fascinating. To me, it was thought-provoking, and in many ways, the most memorable story I ever heard. The conclusions, I'll leave up to you to the most part, but I will suggest some conclusions to be arrived at from this story. The Rebbe summoned Velvel to come to him. Let me tell you who Velvel was. Velvel was a woodchopper, big, heavy football player, strong. He was a Yerushalayim. He tried his best to do the right thing, but he worked very, very hard, and at the end of the day, often he was tired and was able to schlep himself back into the town to get to his street and sometimes even to his house before he collapsed. He was a very nice fellow, very sweet fellow. The Rebbe summoned Velvel and wanted to talk to him. Velvel was a little bit honored that the Rebbe should even call him in. He didn't know the Rebbe even knew his name because he was simple, he was quiet. He worked very hard, but he basically stayed under the radar. The Rebbe called him in and said, Velvel, have a seat, I have to talk to you. I have a special story to tell you. The Rebbe started and said, there was a neshama that came to the world. It was a special neshama, and the body, the person who carried this neshama through life, he had good times and he had difficult times. And after 120, whatever age it was that person passed on, the neshama returned up to Shemayim, and there was a judgment of this person's life. So at this point, Velvel is wondering, what's the Rebbe talking about? What did he do wrong? What did he do right? Okay, the Rebbe continues. It happened to be that the Zuchuyos, of course, and the Averos balanced out exactly. And there was a tremendous fervor. They didn't know what to do. It doesn't happen very often. The fairy tales that happened, the Hasidic stories that happened, happens in this story. Doesn't happen too often. I can't tell you statistically, but doesn't happen too often. It happened here. So he decided that the Hashem would go back into the world. And it was a strange psak, because the decision was that the neshama would return to this world not in the body of a human being, but as a kernel of wheat. What is the neshama supposed to do with that kernel of wheat? It was decided that as a result of that neshama's existence in this world, some good deed, some mitzvah, some chesed, something could happen, some tzedakah perhaps, that would be considered enough. Not too many nisyonos and difficulties are involved with the yetzer hara of a kernel of wheat. So they're giving the fellow a pretty good deal here, but nevertheless, there's a risk. What could possibly happen with a kernel of wheat? Velvel is now really transfixed, listening to the story, what the Rebbe has to say about his neshama. This kernel of grain showed up in a farm, and this particular farmer actually grew wheat. And it was in a sack that he was going to use that day to plant. He sticks the package, this big bag of wheat, on the back of his wagon and starts rickety-rackety going to the field, and meanwhile it gets punctured and some grain falls off on some rocks, some falls off there, some water, and just gets dissolved. and that kernel somewhere near the middle of the sack starts moving over, it starts getting pushed, it starts moving towards that hole, and that would be hopelessly lost. But suddenly he pulls up, the farmer pulls up to the first row, takes the sack, and that kernel manages to remain in the sack. And as he goes down the first row, it falls into one of the rows where he had plowed. Now you know, that's not so pashut, it has to get covered over, there are other seeds, sometimes he steps on things. This particular seed, explains the Rebbe, actually got covered up by a piece of dirt. And together with the rest of the seeds in the furrow, there was a chance perhaps that it still had a future, something was still going to happen. Now you know, even at that point, farming is a very difficult and risky business. There's irrigation, we're learning Beis HaShalchem, Beis HaBal. Then there's also hoeing, when the things start growing and there's weeds, things get ripped out, and if stalks are too close together, they also get pushed away. And right there, that one kernel happened to start growing a stalk, and there were three stalks right within the same area. And the farmer was coming down, and that was about a month later, and says, whacking at this one, whacking at that one. And he says, oh, I can't have three here, I can barely have one, this is kind of close. He whacks at it, and the other two right next to his, this neshama, get sliced off, and he survives. I'm going to call him he, I'm sorry. This neshama, which is represented now by a stalk that begins to grow, has survived unbelievable odds, and it's growing. Yet, we don't know what's yet going to happen. There's wind, and there's sun, and there's rain, and there's hail, and there's more wind. I could probably spend a half hour on this one. I'm going to speed this up because the neshama, Baruch Hashem, I suppose, made it to the end of the season and is a strong stalk now with several sheaves on there with some grain. And even though there was tilling and the harvest and cutting, the gathering also, he puts things on the wagon and many fall off. This one made it. I'm going to push it ahead now. The Rebbe says, all that was left from this stalk, but there was what's left, was 20 kernels of grain now had made it to the harvest. 20 kernels of grain had made it to the harvest. That's all that's left from this one original one, if even that much made it. What could happen to a sack of grain? It could be sold for flour, or it could be sold for more planting. This particular sack got sold, not for flour, but to a distiller, someone who made whiskey. Now Volvo's listening. Aha! The Rebbe says, you know, when whiskey, you know, things pour out, spilled, get bottled. This particular, how many grains did I say? 20? That's those facts. Got to tell you as I heard it. It represented one drop of whiskey, which fell into one bottle. And that bottle got sold to a tavern owner. And the tavern owner put the bottle on the shelf. And once in a while, someone came and wanted some whiskey, he would sell it. So he picked up that bottle, and that drop is swirling around, stayed in the bottle for a month, and for 3 months. A group of goyim walk in, and they say, let's all have a drink. And that would wipe out. If they take that whiskey and wipe out the bottle, no mitzvah is going to come from that. No brachos, nothing. What could possibly happen? No l'chaim, no mazel tovs. And as the tavern owner is pouring the bottle for the goyim, just a little bit's left. They say, that's enough. And a little bit left, plus that little drop is still in there, is in the bottom of the bottle. Says the Rebbe. Belbo! A Jewish person walked into the tavern. And he wanted whiskey. And the owner grabbed that bottle. He poured him a cup, and that drop fell into that cup. And the Jewish person looked at it and was thirsty and wanted to have a l'chaim. The Rebbe says, that person, Velba, was you. And you drank it without a bracha. Rabbosai, I'm not here to scare you that we're eating our neighbors. That's not the conclusion. I think one thing from the story we could learn is Hashgacha Pratis. Certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every drop, every grain, every move, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching and supervising and directing. And certainly, we have the ability to say those brachos and to elevate. I'm not scaring anyone here to think, again, that every time we eat, we're gobbling up little neshamos, but we certainly can purify our own neshama by saying brachos properly. I started, I think it was even yesterday, before the chasana, telling how the Mizbeach and the Sanhedrin are intertwined. We learn Baba Basra and we're learning Taras Hashem, Tamima. It's beautiful. Kedusha B'Tahara. Every time we walk by a mezuzah, Rabosai, we are confirming that our actions result in reactions. The climate, the economy is affected by our deeds. Im shemoa tishmo mitzosai v'nasati mitarzachem b'ito. This is not something which is only on a whole universal basis. Every one of us expects that if we're shomer Torah mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pave our path for Shefa Bracha. And Chas v'Shalom, the Shema continues, which is also written in the mezuzah, that if we are not, if we forget, and we're irresponsible, Chas v'Shalom, then then there's a holdback of the blessings which nature has for us. I would like to encourage everyone to pay close attention to saying brachos when you eat. We had an opportunity about 3.5 years ago to learn about all of the brachos that are said on the foods which they have in the menu here in the yeshiva. We went through fresh toast, we went through matzah bite, which they don't even have here anymore, all the cereals and soups and salads and combinations. These halachas are available. Remember the story of Velvel, and remember the story of Bracha, and remember the story that we each have the opportunity to respond to Hashgacha Pratis and to earn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's favor in all that we do.
At the end of the story?
Pretty.
What's he supposed to do?
Oh, you're getting ready.
I've heard that story before.
Rabbi.
Like his tongue was supposed to make the
brother, but Rabbi, that was amazing.
Rabbi,
we laughed.
It was at some
you recorded?
Tension.
Oh,
Rabbi,
you
have a
rhyme?
Rabbi,
sorry, I tried to.
Oh.
Rabbi's upset that he said with that brother. What about the fact that he was drinking a place with his name?
Well, in those days.
Did it count?
In those days, you had to be careful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was less than 13 minutes.
Okay.
Does it taste any different?